Well, right now, the way MU1 is written is that Adobe Pueblo 7635 and San Jacinto are multifamily one, the way they're written now, right? In the new general plan. So MU1, which is what we're talking about here.
So they're just mixed use, so they can be any of the 1 through 4. This is our first look at zoning.
That's
So
what
none of these
MU1
are.
is. It could be either.
Mixed use 1 is one of the 4 zoning districts associated with the general plan designation.
Right. So, but we're looking at a slide right now that says, should we move these parcels to MU4?
So this was originally thought of as a different zone when we did our focus area discussion, and now we're bringing it back for zoning. So none of them are in a specific zone yet.
None
And
of the
so
lavender
there's
or the violet.
correct. So there's 2 options. Do you want them all to be the light purple, or do you want some of them to be the dark purple and require a commercial component?
And the dark purple is what it already exists, the vertical requirement.
In our current commercial retail zoning district, we only allow vertical
Right.
today.
Yes. So my opinion is that the mixed use should not require any, the market should dictate how somebody, if somebody wants to build a quadplex on a skinny little sliver lot and have 4 residential units on there, and it's next door to a liquor store, and the developer wants to do it and they rent it out, fine by me. Next door to that, to the left, if someone's like, this is a bigger lot, I could fit a cool like motorcycle display thing underneath selling Triumph motorcycles and have 4 apartments above it. If anybody's listening out there, that'd be cool. And that's great too. I don't think maybe it was exaggeration, Mayor. You said that everybody's just going to build houses and we're going to have no commercial space. I don't think that's going to happen just because of the market. I also want to point out that the west side of El Camino Real, on what is that, like the 6,000 block, like where San Luis Avenue Doglegs in, we have to also consider that the idea that we're going to be talking about that is Innovation Flex. So the whole west side of El Camino Real is going to be 0 residential. So if somebody wants to go and say, well, I'm going to use my lot on the corner, or I want to use my lot next to Pueblo to build a quadplex or a sixplex residential unit, so be it. And then if somebody next to them wants to go mixed use and they want to put a commercial and a residential there, so be it. I don't think that we should restrict. I think I agree with Councilwoman Newsom's idea that not to restrict anybody's ability to use this property either for residential or commercial, being the fact that some of the lots are so small, you have to pick one or the other without buying the neighbor's lot and combining them. So I'd be in favor of letting the landowner use it how they see fit along in this area of MU1. But I am open to the San Jacinto Center being vertical for maximum use because there's no site impingements from anybody, and it's next to the water company. It's on the freeway. There's a boat guy across the street. It's like a perfect spot for that, I think. But the rest of it, I think the world's their oyster as the property owner.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, and I'm coming back to this. I think the if we go back, thinking back to the El Camino corridor study that we did a number of years ago, the general concept was to keep this area viable, to have viable, walkable neighborhoods with residential concert serving commercial by keeping corner nodes with a commercial component and allowing more mid-block residential. So that's the concept that I'm after. I agree on San Jacinto, that center, that makes sense as MU4. It is all ground floor commercial now, and could be high. It's a good node for this. We should look at the node at Pueblo because it's a really long stretch from the Vaughan Center to Pueblo, and to allow for that corner area to have commercial, so that otherwise we don't have just an entire commercial frontage, entire residential frontage on all of El Camino Real, but to you know, keep that, but allow for enough residential there so that the commercial will be viable.
I would actually, you know, as I think through this, I'm willing to go along with what Councilmember Peake said, because keeping in mind the entire west side of El Camino Real through this entire stretch is all commercial. I mean, there might be one house or buried in there somewhere, but and so it isn't going to be a purely residential block, even if all of the properties here, you know, became residential over time or a resident concluded a residential component over time. So I'd be willing to say, okay, we're going to allow residential here. We're not going to require commercial, but commercial is certainly authorized. But move the San Jacinto Center to the MU4 category, if you will. And I think, Councilmember Funk, other than your comment about the corners, I think we kind of have consensus on that. Other than your comment about Pueblo, and I'm just kind of willing to let that go and see where the market takes it. Okay. All right. So that's, I think we've reached a consensus on that. Is that clear for staff?
I think just the last point of clarification is about the corners. If you would like to require, in addition to the San Jacinto Center, because that is at a corner, if you also want to require ground floor commercial at the other corners, which would really only be a couple other parcels.
I think our discussion indicates no.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, except for the San Jacinto Center.
Right, because there is the commercial across the street. There's going to be commercial at that node. So there's the opportunity for some residential serving commercial, and it should be viable.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that clear? Now, what else? Let's see. Let's look. I think we kind of addressed it in the last category. We addressed, you know, asking kind of more for specific list of asking for a more specific list of uses, et cetera, without addressing that one too specifically. I think this is a very key and critical thing, and I think it was worth the discussion because, you know, I'm open to what everybody said and can support that. It's just, I think it was a really big deal and it warranted some consideration and discussion. So, okay, I think, are we?
I just want to point out, I think that it's important that if at any point someone feels that we have singled them out in the past, we've made zoning changes and that property owner has seen the parcel number and contacted us and said we've made a change that they're just totally against, that we evaluate that. If somebody comes back and says that is not my intent, it will harm me, that because we didn't do the public outreach, that we are cognizant of their effects of us making changes.
So are you saying we should do that for everything in the general plan if people don't attend meetings? And
this has been a really ongoing process, and we just singled out a bunch of property parcels by parcel number and had a conversation without them in the public to give way or to tell us their perspective. We had one of those residents show up and speak to it, but because they weren't individually noticed, they didn't know that we were actually going to touch their parcel tonight. So I think a lot of the public doesn't realize what a general plan zoning does until they see their parcel affected by it. And so I just want to make sure that if somebody has that concern, and it's happened more than once when we've been doing the general plan, we had to change it over off of Traffic Way, and we did address and we did hear their concerns. And as a council, we made changes. So I want to reserve that for someone else that feels singled out.
May I ask, you've made countless decisions over the past 2 or 3 years. So we have had people ask can I change this to upzone this? And you'd already kind of made a decision on it. They may or may not have been at the meeting. So we're way down the line here. So I'm trying to understand if people say, I'll take another bite at the apple, and we get a lineup of 20, 30 residents that want to, how do we accommodate that?
Jim, it's not that. We drew a line through someone's property and we literally changed it. And they came back to council and said, we weren't notified. That's all I'm asking. We literally singled out two properties in a previous decision on general plan, and we made adjustments to that. and it's a property off of Traffic Way. I think there was two parcels we changed zoning on. So earlier on, we had a couple concerned property owners on those two parcels, and we did hear their concerns. We did make changes based on this general plan. I'm not saying that's going to happen for every single parcel owner, but we have made that change for someone that they wanted to opt out.
Okay, so I'm still, staff likes clear direction, right? We work best with that. So you gave a very specific example of a person that came back and was able to make a change because of an error. Are you suggesting certain parcels that we allow someone to come and say, I'm concerned, to bring it back to you?
Oh, we just had a map with parcel numbers of how many? Five?
Okay, parcels? So you're talking about those five?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I was like, we singled them out and personally said, we're going to move these, and we didn't contact them. I'm not saying the entire city of Atascadero called Jim tomorrow. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying these very specific parcel numbers. There's only five.
Yeah, I mean, we are correct. We are talking about some specific properties this evening, and, you know, those people, you know, may not have realized that. That's, I really think, kind of the issue at hand. And I'm not so concerned because we are effectively upzoning these properties and giving people a lot more options of what they can do with them. I suppose it's theoretically possible that they don't want to change what they're doing, and nor do they want their neighbor to change what they're doing, so that they, you know, have a potential interest in being, you know, notified, because they might say, no, don't upzone my property, and don't upzone my neighbor's property either. Yeah, I mean, when we're talking about specific properties, it's always good, if possible, to have, you know, to have notified people. Okay, but I think we're towards the end of this on MU1. Do you guys need any more guidance from us on MU1?
No, thank you.
Okay. We're going to proceed to a discussion of MU2, and at this point in time, Councilmember Peek is going to recuse himself.
I'm recusing myself of discussion of MU2 because of a property I own in this area.
All right, thank you. And since this is the last item, I believe Councilmember Peek is not going to return to us. Okay, you are going to return. Okay, excellent. All right, then let's go ahead and proceed with our discussion of MU2.
We should also allow a public comment on it. Okay. Because he would be eligible to speak as a member of the public.
He would, but I asked him, but did not attempt to speak. Unless he changed his mind. So, okay, go ahead and present, let's refresh our memory. The areas, the specific area we're talking about in MU2 is essentially the area along Ramona, next to the freeway and east of Apple Valley.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. And here's the map, just one basic location along Ramona Road. And this was a last minute change that originally had been proposed to be the Innovation Flex Zone. And we wanted to increase or enhance neighborhood compatibility. And so the council had decided to shift this towards the mixed use. And MU2 is the recommended feature for this particular zone. The map here shows existing land uses on this property. There's a church there. You've got Woods Humane Society, and they have cat rescue there. And then there's some residential just south of Conejo. So here's a couple images of what that looks like. There's Woods Humane. And then as you look off to the west there, the site drops down a little bit. And then you've got the residences at Apple Valley. Here's some vision pictures of MU2. I don't think that would quite fit on here. That's a much bigger scene. But if you look off to the right-hand side of that, if you kind of block off the left, that's much more San Jose than we are. But in terms of the density, this is the lowest density of these mixed-use districts at 24 units, 35-foot height still. And then it has the lowest floor-to-ceiling ground floor height, which is the most flexible. And then very similar commercial uses to the rest. These are our discussion topics for tonight.
Okay, thank you. So Okay. In terms of, are the parcels identified appropriate for this zoning district? Yeah, because there's not any other parcels elsewhere in this that we're talking about. It's just these. So, and these are currently zoned public, if I understand.
Yes, so they are public zoning.
Currently, I mean, when we talk about putting this as MU2, that is a substantial addition of things that could be done as opposed to what can be done under public, right? So again, this is a substantial upzoning.
Yes, situation. Absolutely, because it adds commercial land uses. And one of the big discussion points in our general plan, we're going through this, we didn't want to have privately owned parcels that were in a public zoning district, because public zoning is very restrictive in terms of what